This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And today, the beginning and end of history frames our hour today. What do you think of that? Are we fighting the battles set in motion in 1945 even today? Are we returning to some of them in this century? Let's start with the Obama pivot to Asia. Are you having a hard time seeing it? You're not alone, but we've got a gallery of art stories also this hour, from the power of artful food to bring peace to a war-torn city to what does a simple sketch tell us about the military tribunals at Guantanamo Bay and art at airports, not in your baggage, not getting a bust of marble through security, no, the growing importance of public art in the stressful era of flying. But we begin with some retro-sounding words from President Obama this week.
In the near term, America's diplomatic efforts will focus on two particular issues: Iran's pursuit of nuclear weapons and the Arab-Israeli conflict.
That's a speech that might have been given in 2003 or 1993 or even 1973 when the old Shah of Iran was openly considering a nuclear program. Could we imagine a moment when these old issues and conflicts were in the distant rearview mirror?
The United States is uniquely positioned to play a leading role in the Asia Pacific because of our history, our capabilities, and our credibility.
That's former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in 2010, who toured Asia in her very first trip as Secretary of State. That was back in February of 2009. Today, Secretary of John Kerry is off to the Middle East. So where is the so-called Asian pivot policy today? With us is Bonnie Glaser, Senior Advisor for Asia at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Bonnie, welcome.
Hi, John.
So did you notice an absence of talk about Asian policy, about the embrace of Asia, the whole notion of the pivot to Asia in President Obama's speech this week at the United Nations?
Well, yes, I did. It was rather remarkable. The president mentioned China once in the just a broader context, along with many other countries. There was no mention of Japan, of India. So, yes, the president seems to be quite focused on the challenges that the United States faces in the Middle East. But having said that, the president himself will be heading to Asia in October. He will be spending an entire week. He's going to Brunei. He's going to Indonesia, the Philippines, and Malaysia, attending two really important meetings, APEC, the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum, and then the East Asia Summit. So it might be a little bit too early to declare the death knell of the pivot, but it certainly is getting a bit less attention this week.
Well, it's out of the headlines and out of the rhetoric, but from your perspective, what are the issues that the U.S. and the Obama administration is going to face in Asia, and what's the legacy for the next couple of administrations?
Well, the issues are certainly participating more in the economic dynamism in the region. That's a broader policy, of course. The Obama administration is seeking to conclude the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP. They've said they'd like to wrap it up by the end of October. It may slip a couple of months, but hopefully that will get done. And I think that will be very, very significant and a very important legacy for the president. Another issue is providing reassurance to countries in the region who are a little bit worried about China. They want to have trade with China. They want to have good relations with China, but they feel a little vulnerable. They feel vulnerable to Chinese coercion, economic and potentially military. And so there's been this demand pull in the region. That's the word that our former National Security Advisor Tom Donilon liked to use, that the United States is seen as more important in the region, and these countries, including virtually every state in Southeast Asia, Northeast Asia, perhaps with the exception of China, really wants to see the United States present, involved very actively in the region, militarily, diplomatically, and economically.
Are we hamstrung, though, by our Taiwan policy and our inability to sort of end the conflict in Korea, to really make that changed from 1950, really, when the seeds were sown there, and ultimately that will be a conflict point?
Well, Taiwan remains an issue, but I think that the mainland and Taiwan are working out their differences right now fairly constructively and peacefully. That could change. Korea, we still have a whole set of problems. North Korea's provocations do continue, and I don't expect any progress there in the near term. But if North Korea begins to act up, we will certainly see U.S. attention once again pulled back toward the region. But let's hope that the United States can chew gum and walk at the same time. That is, that we can pay attention to the Middle East and also to Asia. But that will be challenging, especially if this crisis in Syria continues.
And certainly North Korea has used distractions in the Middle East as an excuse for provocations. And the question of whether the U.S. will be competing with China or cooperating with China is something we'll be dealing with all century long. Bonnie Glaser, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bonnie Glaser is a senior advisor for Asia at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. This is The Takeaway.